On the morning of the 17th of May, 2012, a Thursday, an ordinary-looking man from Seville walked into a branch of Bankia, one of Spain's biggest banks, and began singing a song.
El carácter y la voluntad ha cambiado, amigo mío.
To the bemusement and amusement of customers and staff alike, he was soon joined by people clapping and a solitary dancer. Then others began to join in, until an entire troupe occupied the floor. This was a flamenco flash mob, an unexpected protest using one of Spain's most historic cultural music forms to make a political point. The current economic crisis Spain is experiencing is revealing a different side to flamenco, one that many people are unaware of. Songs born not purely out of feelings of personal joy or tragedy, but of social angst. I'm Jason Webster, and I've come to Andalusia for this BBC World Service programme, Flash Mob Flamenco. I'm in the heart of Seville. It's quite early in the morning and just 5 minutes out of our hotel, and I've come across this quite large demonstration here in front of the town hall. About 1,000 rubbish men and women here are complaining about the cuts. In Spain every day now, you can't get away from protests, from signs of how this country is really falling apart in many ways. Shops are closing, people are losing their jobs, and people are really out in the street demonstrating and protesting against what's happening in their lives. I'm on my way now to talk to Pepe Elmudis. Pepe is one of the leading figures in the Flor 6 por 8 movement. Flor 6 por 8 is the famous, quite notorious flamenco flash mob protest movement. They got over 1 million hits for one of their YouTube videos recently. They're using flamenco to express their anger and their frustration at the way things are going in this country.
It's incredible that people is not on the streets now making a revolution, because the situation is really, 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 really hard. You know?
So how do people react? The people inside the bank, the customers, the clerks, what was the expression on their faces when they saw you doing this protest dance?
The first moment is surprise, and some people feel happy, some people jalea, it's like, ole, ole, vamos allá, no? Or other people is just terrified in the corner, and mostly, employees are, you know, with sympathy, because they are suffering a lot of their situation.
And there's obviously a lot of anger and frustration in what you're doing, that's behind what you're doing. But there's also a lot of humour when you see the dance taking place. Tiene gracia, no? It brings a smile to your face.
The point of the humour is that it's the best weapon against fear. People is afraid to be fired, people is afraid to be put out of their homes. Through this way, we try to encourage people to get ready to take the situation. Banquero, banquero, banquero. Tú tienes cartera, yo tengo un florero. Banker, banker, banker. You have wallets, I have flower pots. Speaking about the fight between somebody who is really popular, speaking that I don't understand economy, I just listen Nasdaq, Moody's, rating agencies, but I don't understand anything. Tú tienes cartera y yo un paraguero. Because banker, you have the wallet, but I have an umbrella. It's kind of absurd.
So tell us, why flamenco? Why are you using flamenco for your protest?
From the beginning of this art, flamenco has a political charge, more or less explicit, but this charge is very important in this art.
Hay un grito de libertad.
There's a hidden history to flamenco that bears little relation to the frilly dresses, castanets, and gently strumming guitar
the cliched images of flamenco that are all too familiar to us.
Yes, of course, we sing the love, we sing the friendship, but above all, we sing in protest.
Why has this part of flamenco become obscured? And is the harsh economic reality of Spain's troubled present actually reviving a music that's historically rooted in hardship?
Placing their bodies in a bank and singing is itself enough. It says it all.
I first came to live in Spain over 20 years ago, and flamenco for me then was about intensity, self-exploration, and trying to understand duende, the trance-like, almost mystical experience that lies at the heart of the performance. The upshot of the experiences I had then was that I eventually settled in Spain, and I have a Spanish wife, my kids were born here. I've made a life here. Since then, I've been exploring other sides of Spain. I've written several books on the country. And flamenco is still important for me. My wife is a flamenco dancer and teacher. But until recently, it had ceased to be at the forefront of my fascination for the country. Now, I'm rediscovering it. I'm in the old Moorish quarter of Granada, the Albaicín, and I'm on the rooftop of the Peña Platería, which is the cathedral of flamenco, the oldest flamenco club in the world. Wherever you are in Andalusia, you don't have to look far to find flamenco. Just around the corner here are the caves of the Sacromonte, where gypsies still live today and where flamenco has been performed for centuries. And yet, you have to look harder to uncover the political side of the music.
Flamenco's origins lie in the Andalusian underclass of the late 18th century, gypsies and others on the margins of society. Their songs, explicitly or otherwise, often reflected the hardship of their existence. Although it's the more romantic form of flamenco, which emerged in 19th century cafe society, that is more widely captured in recordings such as this.
The first lyrics that we have in the history, it explains the situation of exploitation, of misery. If you are explaining your situation, your condition of misery, you are talking about political because you are against the power, you are against the political of this moment.
Juan Pinilla is a singer and historian who has written about the role of flamenco in the Civil War, when musicians like Corruco de Algeciras used song to express a pro-Republican stance.
When the Franco militaries began to arrive to Spain from the north of Africa, 95% of flamenco positioned with the Republica.
For example, in the Second Republic, Corruco de Algeciras, one of the most important singers, when the army of Franco, they take the south of Spain, they take Sevilla. So Corruco de Algeciras, they has to go to the war in the army of Franco.
He had to fight on Franco's side.
Yes, and he fight against the Republican who sings his songs. Hay un grito de libertad.
Galán y García Hernández. A cry of freedom. Galán and García Hernández gave a cry of freedom. The throne and crown did shake, and with their voices triumphed the Spanish Republic.
It's a pity because he died in the Batalla del Ebro.
The Battle of the Ebro.
Yes, by the Republican fire, you know.
So he was killed by the very people he supported.
Yes, of course. Yes, this is flamenco. So why don't we know this part of the history?
After the Civil War, the Franco regime appropriated flamenco for its own ends. musicians were censored, and a tourist-friendly version of the art form was used to promote the image of a united, nationalist Spain. One visitor to Spain during the Franco years, who has never left, is guitarist and writer Estela Zatania.
Let's start with one basic thing. Franco liked flamenco. He really liked it. And along the way, he decided it would be a good way to promote the nationalist image of Spain. He didn't want Spain breaking up. By the same token, there was censorship. All the artists from that period talk about how censors would come and stand in the back of the theater and take notes. Basically, the people who do flamenco, I see it as apolitical. Whoever's giving out the jobs or giving out the money, you're nice to them, you know. They just want to work and they want to survive.
Flamenco musicians through the first half of the 20th century regarded themselves as rather powerless and capable really of only singing their own pain.
William Washabore, professor of anthropology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
During the last phases of the Franco regime, a number of artists, Menese, Gerena, Morente, began to see the potential of flamenco music to undercut the policies that they disagreed with, the high-handed handling by Madrid of Sevilla and of all of Andalusia.
I'm in Puebla de Cazalla, a small town just east of Seville, and this was a heartland of the flamenco protest movement during the late Franco years. And I'm sitting in a bar, and on the walls there are many paintings and drawings by Francisco Moreno Galván, who's a Cubist painter, and he was also a writer of flamenco lyrics, flamenco protest lyrics. And the man who used to sing those lyrics was José Menese. José Menese is still alive, and I'm on my way to meet him now. Hola.
Hey, hey.
¿Qué tal?
Adelante.
My uncle, Salvador, was a charcoal burner. He used to take charcoal from this village to Villanueva, a village 40 kilometers away in the mountains. He was not political at all. He was a man from the country. But they came up behind him, shot and killed him. They shaved my mother's hair and made her sweep the streets to humiliate her. All of this influenced me, and when I sing, the rebel comes out. I wanted to sing what I felt deep inside, about how much they had made me suffer.
So you become a member of the Communist Party in 1968 when it was still illegal. Did you have problems with the police? Were the authorities ever after you for your political associations and beliefs?
In the concerts I did, wherever I went, I was assigned a civil guard so that I didn't sing lyrics that reflected my opinions about the persecution, for example, of culture. I remember once in Madrid, I was assigned a huge guy, absolutely gigantic. I had a terrible time because if you've got a guard at your side, you can't find your inspiration, you know?
You, my good sir, on your horse, not bidding us good day. If your horse were to hobble, a different bird would sing.
The elliptical words of Francisco Moreno Galván. It's clear that some subtlety was needed to evade the censor and the muscle of the civil guards. But as I talked to José Menese, I wondered if this layer of metaphor obscured the message of protest too much, perhaps helping to explain why it isn't better known now. Could he have been more explicit?
No, impossible.
Stronger than what I did? No, impossible. I'm sorry, maybe when the words are spoken it doesn't have such an impact, but if you sing it, it has an incredible power, you know? For example.
Fue sentencia Juan García Gor. Pedemos que todo, como lo que yo digo, Ay, a mí me mandaron a cao, a llamar. A que suena distinto.
Me he dejado sin palabras.
A que suena.
So I'm standing outside José Menezes' house and I was sitting a meter away from him as he was singing one of the most important songs from his career. The hairs are still sticking up on the back of my neck. You know, I can almost feel tears pricking at my eyes. This is not just about political ideas on some intellectual level. This is about something that's deeply, deeply felt. And I think for me, this confirms that flamenco goes far beyond ordinary ideas about the art form, particularly outside of Spain or outside the world of flamenco.
The flamenco context changed a lot with the democracy, because in Spain we start to build the comunidades autónomas, the regional governments.
Pepe Almudis, flamenco flash mob organizer.
In this process, flamenco was in some way appropriate as a regional icon. We see that local authorities, they support flamenco, they put money, budget to develop flamenco, but as a folklore image.
Since the 1980s, flamenco has been vigorously promoted and financially supported by the Andalusian government. Top musicians have been handsomely paid, performing in large concert halls in Spain and abroad. There was even a version of the Andalusian regional anthem recorded by some of the music stars in 2005. This rather sanitized version of flamenco has turned me off a bit, and Pepe and other members of the flamenco community complain that institutional support is damaging and misrepresenting the art form. The civil servant responsible for the Andalusian government's promotion of flamenco is María Ángeles Carrasco.
La protesta política creo que solo es una
political protest is only one part of flamenco. Flamenco is, above all, about the traditions and customs of a people. It is linked to every single popular celebration and tradition. It is sung in Easter, it's there in all the ceremonies, and of course, there is a kind of flamenco song which, absolutely, deals with the pain and misfortune, but it is a non-specific kind of protest. It was democracy that started connecting flamenco with identity. We're not manipulating it, we are putting it in the place it deserves.
Nevertheless, it's becoming clear that the political history of flamenco is as much about its use by those in power as by the voices of dissent on the outside. The upshot is that people's perception of flamenco is often very different from some of the stories we've heard so far. It's often the dance rather than the song that draws people in. I went to a dance class in Seville to find out what flamenco means to some of its international students.
Stomping your feet is quite fun. You know, the real stomping your feet, doing something in rhythm with other people, and the elegant movement.
I felt attraction about flamenco when I saw a spectacular in Lithuania. Flamenco has a lot of passion and you feel it with your movements. And I tried other dances, and this dance I found what I searched for a lot of time.
I don't think flamenco is usually associated with protests. It's not really part of a political thing, it's more part of a very cultural, traditional thing.
The magnetism of flamenco music is contained in bodies much more than in words.
William Washabaugh.
You don't have to translate words. You can feel bodies as they bear upon you in a flamenco performance. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why contemporary resistance movements have picked up on both dance and rhythms as the vehicles. Placing their bodies in a bank and singing is itself enough. It says it all.
We are now in the Zaidin quarter of Granada. It's a worker quarter.
Singer and writer Juan Pinilla.
You can see around us many shopping, many bars that exist in the past. They are closed now. So we can find here now the problems.
So what do you think the unemployment rate is
right here, let's say?
The 60% more.
60%?
Yes, 60%.
So right here, having a job is strange.
It's a dream. I can't to sing to love, no? I can't sing it now because I'm not in love with the situation now. This is the history of flamenco. Flamenco's artists have forgotten this one because they got a lot of money, a lot of time.
From local governments?
Yes, they've forgotten that flamenco is the music of exploited people, of exploited country.
As we talked, one of Granada's most respected flamenco singers, Luis El Polaco, came past. He told us that he's having to leave Granada to try and make a living elsewhere, a familiar story among artists here in Spain. Another local musician who's staying put is Chanquete, a singer once renowned in Spain and abroad, who is now struggling to make ends meet.
Hola, buenos días. Gracias. Pasar. No salgo porque...
I don't sing now, because if there's no work for the younger guys, what will there be for me? People now offer only a few pennies, and maybe young generations can afford to do this, but a man like me, in my 70s? I've been retired for 3 years, and I get a pension of 1,000 euros a month. But 6 people depend on me. I have to feed my son, my 2 daughters, my grandson, my wife, and me.
And are they looking for work? Are they finding it difficult to find work?
It's almost impossible to find a job these days, and it's difficult to get to the end of the month. You have to pay the electricity, gas, telephone. It's a disgrace for poor people, because there's nothing to eat. We're returning to how it was in the 50s and 60s. Those who had things lived, and they abused and punished the poor, so they couldn't learn, so that they died.
When you listen to sing Chanquete, their hands in their face singing is a very, very, very high expression. Yes, of course, we sing the love, we sing the friendship, but above all, we sing in protest.
Now in flamenco we have the opportunity to claim our real nature, and we have the opportunity to change our contents, our poetry, our aims.
There's still a good feeling of day-to-day life here. We still eat our chickpea stew, and we still have our little glass of wine at the Flamenco Peña. People get together, and that's not only not going to stop, it's actually become stronger. More people come. What are you going to do? We have to do our flamenco.
So does real flamenco need poverty, suffering?
I think there's plenty of suffering in just being born and living a life without having to be hungry or cold. But, I mean, you know, death, baby, got that death thing hovering. And, of course, the love and the unlove, these are very powerful forces. I think there's really enough suffering in those themes to keep flamenco and other art forms going for a long time.
Spain's going through a difficult time right now, and those problems are starting to affect me in a direct way. My wife is a flamenco dancer and she has no work anymore. And sadly, we've come to the decision that we, just like many hundreds of thousands of Spaniards, are going to have to leave the country. So really, there could be no better time for me to discover this other, more socially aware side of flamenco. As I've travelled around Andalusia, I can see that this is a controversial topic with different and strongly held opinions. protest, the anger and the frustration that comes across in so much of what some flamenco artists sing and have sung about, is an important and integral side of the art form. I don't know what the future holds, either for Spain or for flamenco. I just hope that the flamenco artists of today can keep this unique and beautiful art form alive. I'll leave the last word to my wife, Salud, and the poetry of Francisco Moreno Galván, sung here by José Menese. Como pájaro banda,
por casi donde no iba. A man without work is a man without destiny, whose fate has been twisted. A man who cannot go forwards or back, stranded on his track. We are all living like birds in a flock, for there is no breath here, one after the other, even the dogs, leaving the land behind.